This is my new face. I had a facelift.
Yes.
And so did Shannon.
And by the way, you look great.
You look gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like a hot Swedish boy.
Oh, I believe it.
Me too.
Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. I just picked my day right up. I wasn't having a bad day, but I was feeling a little, feeling a little stressed, a little hectic, a lot of things going on. That's put a smile on my face and a song in my heart. The best part is that he clarifies later that only a 14-year-old Swedish boy. I don't know that he finds fully grown Swedish boys to be gorgeous. It's 503-733-2970. I never did get a satisfying answer to the peacock thing. Rick, about peacocks. Oh, no, this is about gasoline pumps. I never got an answer to that either. What the hell's going on today? Rick, is the restaurant with the good lighting the place where you decided you have a 32-inch waist? Just wondering. Ha, ha, ha. It's not a 30, it's a 32, you bastard, and I have that everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen at the Ministry of Truth, please weigh...
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Selling a dead man's body to OHSU was a mistake. Convinced the county medical examiner's office, yes, a mistake was made, and it might have made a difference. Apparently, this was a homeless fellow, and although his ID card contained his address, nobody was there to inquire about him. Although this is an excuse, the workforce was so low, we didn't have somebody check. So this man's body went unclaimed, and it was offered to OHSU at bargain basement prices. This dead man's body was sold for $37.50. $37.50.
I
bet Anna Nicole Smith is even worth more than that.
I must have missed something. Let's back up.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this man?
He is a homeless man.
Does he have a name? Or is he just homeless?
His name is R.J. Anheuser.
Okay.
He's dead. He was found dead on the sidewalk January 4th. He was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. Officials with the medical examiner's office, they said they tried very hard to reach next of kin, but the person with the same last name was not a relative, and nobody inquired about him. And they could have had a more extensive investigation, but they didn't have the manpower to do so.
Wait, so the city sold him to OHSU?
The county medical examiner.
The county sold him to OHSU. So if you die,
yeah,
and nobody knows what to do with your body, does that just mean... If you die and you've made no plans for your body, does that mean that it just becomes the property of the state and they can just do whatever they want
to? Because the law allows Oregon hospitals to buy unidentified bodies.
Okay. So where does the money go?
Oh, that's a good question.
Who gets the $37? And first of all, how is it that... I was to understand that if you sold your body to science, this is a thing we've always heard,
mm-hmm.
that if you sold your body to science, you got like... It was like 37 grand or something. It was like a... Because you always...
Well, somebody moved the decibel point, apparently, on this one.
You always hear these stories.
Mm-hmm.
I always heard these stories. That you could sell your body to science. Maybe this is just a big urban legend. I remember hearing this when I was a kid and up through my teen years because there were times when I was like really, really broke where it seemed like maybe not such a bad idea. What I always heard about selling your body to science was that you could sell your body to science while you were still alive. And they would give you a not insubstantial amount of money for it, that you could give your, you know, that they would give you like, whatever, like 100 grand. But the deal is that the body then belonged to them, and you couldn't do anything to it without their permission. Couldn't get a tattoo, couldn't get a piercing, couldn't get your teeth out, certainly couldn't get, you know, any cosmetic surgery done. If you wanted to get your appendix taken out, whatever, you couldn't do anything like that. You had to get their permission to do anything. And that's why so few people decided to do it, because if you change the body at all, change your body without their permission, you would forfeit all the money.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that's not true?
No.
Okay, so what you're really saying is it's worth $37.
Well, this man's body was.
All right.
I'm not sure what the scale is. selling dead bodies.
If he was some sort of a... If he was like the dollar store of dead bodies.
Perhaps so.
He was like... He was like that. Like, have you ever gone to? Are you guys fascinated by this? If you ever go to the dollar store or the closeout store and you find bizarre off brands of things, not brands, but the weird varieties of things that you've never, clearly failed line extensions of products that you've never seen anywhere else, like Yogurt Explosion Cheerios, which is a real product, by the way, which is a real product that I saw at a dollar store in San Diego. We were like looking for sunscreen or a comb or some crap, something that you get at the 99-cent store. And we go in and just, I need a hairbrush. Let's go to the dollar store. And so we go in.
Can't find sunscreen, but I'll take a comb.
Well, the dollar store is fascinating because it's all kinds of stuff. And so we go to the dollar store and you walk down the cereal aisle and there's kinds of cereal that you've never even thought of. Stuff that you would never want. What's this? Well, it's blueberry kelp. Frosted Flakes, or just like crap that you would never have imagined there would be a market for. Clearly, there is no market for it because it ended up there, like those millions of cartridges of the E.T. game, just ended up buried in a desert somewhere. Yogurt Explosion Cheerios. So that's clearly what the homeless guy was.
Yes.
All right.
Well, as it turns out, Diane Anheimer, his sister, paid for his body to be returned to Florida. And a memorial service is set for Monday at the Biltmore Hotel, which is where he lived.
Okay. Well, so there you go. So I cannot... So that this last refuge financially has been taken from me. I cannot sell my body.
So apparently the $3,750 was returned.
Okay. Well, who... All right. Never mind.
The money was cheerfully refunded.
Okay. Never mind. All right. It does make you wonder, by the way, how many homeless people are sold every year that we don't know about. Really? I mean, if that's the default setting... If the city just comes along and just buys them at bulk cars at auction. All right.
So that's that. Meanwhile, the second biggest story, vandals have destroyed a Portland landmark. Mills End Park, which is 24 inches wide, which is nothing more than a potted plant, actually, sits at the intersection of NATO Parkway and Taylor Street. It was moved to a site near the World Trade Center about a year ago when its home was under construction. Apparently, somebody vandalized this potted plant. You know, we need to have new things to make famous here. The world's smallest park, just who cares? But apparently it's in the Guinness Book of World Records. And city workers put it back together today. But nobody really knows where this thing is.
We've all just agreed to call it a park.
Yeah.
Really, it's a shrub.
Right.
We've all agreed to say that it's a park.
We need new things to be famous.
Yeah.
So
please pay attention to us.
Meanwhile, an orangutan will have his gallbladder removed. He lives at the Oregon Zoo. This orangutan's name is Inji. He'll have that removed today. Oh, apparently he has gallstone problems. He's 47 years old. Inji is a geriatric orangutan, which increases the risk of surgery. The zoo staff says it's a girl. Has outstanding health for her age and is in discomfort because of the gallstones. She's well known for her predictions of Super Bowl winners. Well, this beats the world's smallest park, doesn't it?
This is a real story. Are we doing nothing but quirky human interest stories today?
No, these are all local stories.
Except for the dead guy who was sold for $37.
Right.
How sad, by the way. This is only...
It's not like going to a pawn shop.
This is like a step up from... I mean, this is like one step up from living a relatively full life and then having your skull manhandled by idiots on a wacky radio program.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go back. So what are you saying here?
Like to know?
Is that we're going to follow this up with a water skiing squirrel?
They had the water skiing squirrel at the boat show, I believe.
Okay.
That is a real thing. And so it's a story about the gallbladder removal of this orangutan. But she's 47.
And she picks stocks?
No, she picks Super Bowl winners.
And where is this orangutan?
At the Oregon Zoo.
And why are we talking about it?
Because she's having her gallbladder removed.
Okay.
Live, local.
No, it's just been the strangest. I'm still all thrown off from the big souk with the Gene Simmons. What was it? Scandinavian boys? Norwegian boys?
That is the weirdest thing ever.
14-year-old taught Norwegian, gorgeous Norwegian boys.
Gorgeous.
All right. Okay, so just to recap so far. If you die, your body will be sold for $37. How sad. One try, one lives, one loves, one laughs, one
loses. So somebody passed a law and argued it out before they set this price.
Right. Well, okay. All right. It's clearly one of those things I'm never going to get an answer to. The thing about selling your... I'm not going to dwell.
Don't dwell.
I I just want to know if it's if the thing I always heard about selling your body to science is true, and it's going to frustrate me until I know. All right, and apparently a cheerful orangutan that picks Super Bowl winners is having its gallbladder out.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Grants Pass man was driving this weekend when the car in front of him threw a soda can at his car. James Rose called the state police. This happened at 9:05. And apparently the can was thrown out of the car window of a late model Ford Focus. The OSP caught up with the driver of the Focus, who's identified as 26-year-old Juan Torres, who said her point. He told officers he intentionally threw the can at Rose's vehicle because Rose flipped him off.
Oh, wait, now we've got this. Rick, see? Listen, I'm told, okay, this guy says, where is he from? He's from some, it says something.edu. Rick, I'm told the average going rate for corpses at OHSU is how much? How much would you guess? The average going rate.
I would say $39. Top rate, yeah, maybe $39.
Sarah, average going rate for corpses at OHSU.
I don't know, $600?
$450.
Why was this one only 37?
That's what I'm saying. See, that's the point I'm making here.
That's discriminatory.
He says the average going rate for corpses at OHSU is $450. So at $37.50, they got a bargain. However, the value of a corpse depends on its condition and the value to the medical students who will be carving it up in, quote, dead lab. Fat people, would you think a fat person's corpse is good or bad? Would you say that's worth more or less?
Well, I would think it gives somebody more to work with. So that would be good.
Sort of buying in bulk. Mm-hmm. There's really more there to love. Fat people, bad.
Why is that?
Apparently, there is more to work with, but it's mostly just fat that I'm...
Oh, it'll take a while to get
to the good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fat that you have to cut through and throw away before you can get to anything that you really care about looking at. Healthy people who died in an accident, good or bad?
Good.
Sarah?
In an accident?
Yes, healthy people who died in an accident. Good or bad? No, bad. You guys are terrible at this. You'll never get OHSU to buy your bodies. No disease or pathology to study. Thin people who die of some illness.
I'm wrong.
I'm reading this. This is from a student somewhere. It says something.edu. Thin people who die of an illness. Good times. He says these are the corpses that command top dollar at OHSU. I swear to God, I'll give anything
thin,
if we can.
Thin people?
Thin people who... I'm quoting now. Thin people who died of some illness. Good times. These are the corpses that OHSU will pay top dollar for.
Well, they're rare, really. Walk down the street and take a look. See how many thin people you see walking around.
I swear to God, if we can find somebody from OHSU to come on and tell us how much we'd be worth. Here's another one. Rick.
Are they willing to take you on consignment? Say you're healthy right now, and you're just planning for the future.
Now we're getting to it. This is what I always heard. We were always told, it was just one of those stories passed around, like gum in your stomach for 7 years. We were always told you could sell your body in advance. It was like a payday loan kind of a thing. Sell your body now, get the cash now, and then they get your body when you die, but the catch was that you couldn't modify it in any way. Okay, listen to this. Rick, the controversy over the story is that the dead man... This is so sad. The dead man's address on the ID in his wallet was current. They didn't even bother to check with... He wasn't homeless.
He lived at the Biltmore Hotel.
They didn't even bother to check with the manager of the Biltmore Hotel where he lived for an emergency contract. Oh, I see. So they sold him before they actually bothered to follow up with his address.
Right. They said they're shorthanded.
Okay. All right.
And we, the taxpayers, would not give them the money to do this properly.
Let's see.
So it's all our fault.
This is Mark. Hi.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Question about who buys and sells bodies? What do I study so I can do that? How do I do that?
That's a good question, and I wonder who negotiates the price.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was sold to OHSU?
Yes.
So if OHSU, and do you suppose there's some sort of haggling that goes on?
Yeah, meeting or whatever, yeah.
Like when you're buying a Mexican rug? Some guy, this is not possibly worth more than $125. I give you no more than $125. And then the other guy goes, no, I cannot possibly accept less than $150. And then they go back and forth, and somehow somebody ends up with $37. You're right. I don't really know the answer to that.
Well, let's find out, Rick, because I want to do it.
It does seem like an interesting line of work, and it doesn't really seem like it's ever going to be... You're never going to be put out of business.
Indeed.
Right. Fantastic. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Rick, about selling your body for riches, you tool, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. John and Beaver said, it's what we... Apparently, you can sell it for some amount of money. $450 is perhaps nothing to sneeze at. Now, my question is, can I sell it for some sort of a amount of money in advance? Like, if OHSU pays $450 for a thin... Their words now, or some guy's words anyway, for a thin person who died of some disease.
How about like a thin Scandinavian boy?
How much would you, please now, how much would you to be paying for a taut skin?
This is my new face. I had a facelift.
Yes.
And so did Shannon.
And by the way, you look great.
You look gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like a taut Swedish boy.
Taut Swedish boy.
I beg your pardon?
You're like a taut Swedish boy. You're like 14 years old. It's a gorgeous
boy. I didn't know you preferred
right
that.
There.
That's the tag out. That's the cue line there is the, it's a gorgeous look. So
like a gorgeous 14-year-old Swedish boy.
If they pay $37 for a homeless corpse and they pay $450 for a thin, diseased person, I wonder if I could strike some sort of middle ground and sell myself now for like $250. Do you know what I mean? Just play the law. Look, I'm probably not going to be a thin, diseased person. I'm probably going to be fat and hideous. I'm probably not going to be homeless, but who knows? Strike a middle ground, I'd accept that right now. $250.
But for $37.50, you can't buy like a smaller DVD player.
Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, does that purchase price or sell price, whatever, does that include the soul too, or just the body?
I do not believe so, sir. I believe the soul is probably that requires a follow up. That's a I can't talk today. What is it?
Is that a value added item?
It's a value added. Yes, that's the what is the word I'm looking for? Not substantial. It's like a follow-up.
How you doing?
Subliminal. What the hell is the word I'm looking for?
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
Well, whatever. That requires an additional negotiation. There's a joke there somewhere. I'll come up with it tomorrow.
And also, they're paying more for somebody with a disease. So if you're perfectly healthy, like, if they say, if you can get these certain diseases, we'll pay you more over your, you know, over your life.
Or... Like if I can manage to give myself lupus right before I die.
Exactly that. Like if you could get like the trifecta, lupus, rickets, and, you know, I don't know.
Scabies.
Exactly. All of those things.
Let's go visit a leper colony right before I die.
And then, you know, you come out of the doctor and they're like, you know, the bad news is you have emphysema. The good news is that's worth another 75.
There you go. See, that's what I'm seeing. It's lemons into lemonade, sir.
There it is.
All right. Thank you. I don't care if nobody else finds this funny. I find this fascinating and amusing. Rick, just the image of a fatty getting carved up made my Subway sandwich taste so much better. Thanks, Rick and friends. Best show ever during lunch. Well, it's what we do, sir. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Which brings us to end of Nicole Smith's death. Now we can go on with their lives. Apparently, she had a combination of 9 drugs, and the press is trying to... frame this as saying she died just like Marilyn Monroe. Actually, there was only one of the drugs in this concoction that she took that was like Marilyn Monroe.
In the third week of the autopsy, we were surprised to have the toxicology revealing high doses of metabolites of the sleeping medication, which is called chloral hydrate.
She suffered from a severe blood infection caused by injection of dirty needles into her buttocks.
We also opine
disgusting
that
on so
the
many levels
in the buttock, the infection in the buttock, and also viral flu, viral enteritis, intestinal infection were contributory causes.
Well, this is weird. Did he just now? He is a real doctor, do we think?
Yes.
Did he just say?
Allegedly.
Did he just refer to it as the butt?
Let me go back.
That sounds strangely conversational.
We also
this infection in the butt.
The abscess in the buttock, the infection in the buttock, and also a viral flu.
That sounds like it's
me.
How weird.
Infection were contributory.
Well, maybe in a state of country that isn't considered so bad as it is here.
An infection in the butt. I mean, really, let's create a list of phrases you don't want to describe you after you're dead.
You can see it on your headstone.
Seriously.
And we've got to keep repeating that phrase over and over again so people don't think that, you know, her death is all glamorous.
An infection in the butt. There's a whole host of sentences I don't want to appear in my obituary. What was it? We had that story. God, we had that story about 6 months ago because we were still in the other studio. And it was some story about, I swear to God, it was like, It was some guy found like dead, like pummeled to death in a hotel room, some sleazy motel room. And there was like a box of condoms, like a jar of Vaseline, and a big steel dildo found in her room. And he'd been beaten to death. And it was like the worst possible confluence of things to show up in the medical report after, like, really, just picture like your mom reading your obituary. That's a list of things you don't want her to read. Also, see, infection in the butt. Can we play that one more time, please? Absolutely.
We also find that the abscess in the buttock, the infection in the buttock, and also a viral flu, viral enteritis, intestinal infection, were contributory causes.
Oh, somebody now is saying that he's saying in the back. He's not saying in the back. He's saying in the. He's saying infection in the.
We say it's in the butt.
Better be in the butt, Bob. Can we play that one more? Let's play that again.
We also find that the abscess in the buttock, the infection in the buttock, and also a viral flu...
That's not back, that's butt.
...intestinal infection were contributory causes.
Sticking, where can I stick this dirty needle where it's going to do the most? I'll stick it right into my buttocks over and over again. Drugs are cool, kids. This is why you don't want to do drugs right here. This is like case study number two, right after Ace Frehley leaving Kiss, for why you don't want to do drugs. I mean,
she was dragging that needle in the parking lot in the mud.
Seriously, just dropping it in the toilet over and over again. She was on the cover of Playboy magazine. She was a guest model. She was not a movie star, but she was in movies. She acted, sort of. She was world famous. She was rich. She had a TV show. Ended up in a hotel room jabbing infected dirty needles into her ass. That's a bad way to go. I don't care who you are. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
I was watching this. I can't remember if it was on 60 Minutes, Channel 10, but...
Let's say it was.
Okay. There's this guy at the University, I think Oklahoma, that does studies on how fast bodies decompose.
Uh-huh.
And they call it the farm, and he's got all these bodies, you know, like half buried, you know, to see how weather relates to decomposition and critters and stuff.
And critters? Is that how the funding is written? Is that what his dissertation says?
Yeah.
Behold
yeah.
my master's thesis on the advanced states of decompositional matter and critters and stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is they were saying that the waiting list of people that want to donate their bodies to this farm is just huge.
Why?
And there's no money or anything.
Yeah, I want nothing more than to have my body eaten by weevils after I'm dead. I can't wait.
Yes, I mean, you know, maybe there is money, you know, if you're famous or something, you know. You might look into that. Maybe they could get some bigger bucks. Just thought I'd share that.
All right, I'll get right on it. Thank you.
Thanks.
If I get right on it, I mean I'm never going to do that. Let's see. Yeah, okay, people weighing it. Rick, this again. His accent is throwing you, I tell you. He's saying back, says this. He's not saying back. Tim?
We also find that the abscess in the buttock, the infection in the buttock, and also a viral flu...
That's butt.
There's a T there.
I don't care what country you're from. T is T. Tim, you're obviously not a swarthy person, but I mean, do you know of any accent where they say, where CK is T?
I don't believe so,
That's what I'm saying. And he lives in America now. He knows how to pronounce things, sort of. So, all right. Sarah's giving me that look. All right, do we have to break? Thank you. This email says, Rick, Gene Simmons going, I beg your pardon, is the money moment. Well, we'll find out. 503-733-2970. Still to come, Steve Kastenbaum, Lisa Goddard, Peter Carlin, and top five, you say, there's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is my new face. I had a facelift.
Yes.
And so did Shannon.
And by the way, you look great.
You look gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like a Todd Swedish boy.
I beg your pardon?
You're like a Todd Swedish boy. You're like 14 years old. It's a gorgeous
boy. I didn't know you preferred that.
Day's not over. 503-733-2970. 503-7... I'm sure it's fine. Big tent.
503-733-2970. You can also email me like at rick@rickemerson.com. We are inside the AM 970 Noon News Hour. We'll rejoin Tim Riley in a moment. Also, Clyde Lewis, Top 5, Steve Kassenbaum, Lisa Goddard, Peter Carlin, etc. We're joined... I hope this is the right one. I just pulled this out of nowhere. Let's see.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
No. Ixnay. Okay, let's just stop that there. Joined by our good friend Mailman Chris in the studio. Hello, sir.
Hello. How is everyone?
We're doing fantastic. Now, you know, we've got Listener Party 10, which is coming up. Still without a name. It's Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10, blah, blah, blah. Insert clever name here. Coming up April 19th, Thursday, at Barracuda, 7 to 9 p.m. I'm going to talk more about that. But the thing we're going to do with this one, because it's almost the 10th anniversary of the show, and so we're just going to kind of squish the two together. We're trying to put... We want to make this the one-stop shopping for the entire history of the show. We want to have a huge display of stuff from the entire history of the Rick Emerson Show, the show itself, and the unpleasantness, and the listener parties, and so forth. And so we're asking people, if you've got stuff, merchandise, or just stuff you made yourself, or banners, or photos, or anything from the history of the show, to drop it off here. I should put the web address, I should actually put the physical address, rather, on my website. I put a little the blog there. It's 2040 Southwest 1st. You can drop it off at the front, and the able Dave Zinn will take that from me. We'll tag it. You'll get it back after the party. So you dropped some stuff. Now, what have you brought in today?
I brought in the infamous Rick Emerson bumper sticker.
Now, let's go through this. Now, this is, Chris has brought in some
history
of the show.
Eric from Interesting designed those.
Now, are these the bumper stickers that we paid for out of our own pocket?
Yes,
right here.
Yep.
It says Rick Emerson, and it was in the black. Did you design this?
No, Eric from Internacional.
Right. It's black on white with this kind of retro mic design and whatever. Didn't we have these? And it says 12 to 3, Hot Talks and Eddie KFTK. Didn't we have these for like a month and then Intercom moved our
time? We got bumper stickers and they changed the time of the show.
And we got bumper stickers finally because I paid for them myself, you bastards.
And that is the only good thing to come out of the listener party that should not be named.
These are really good bumper stickers, actually. These are not bad at all. I mean, we got a great logo now, but I mean,
for
something that I just had paid for out of my own pocket that I think Sarah had put together, these are not bad at all. I don't even have one of these, so I'm glad you're okay. So we've got that. What else?
My Horns Across the Hawthorne laminate pass.
Another thing I don't have one of.
And
I mean,
of course,
I'm not complaining, but I'm just, I guess I just didn't need one or whatever, so I didn't have one.
And of course, mine is notable, and it was just luck of the draw that I got it. Number 37.
37?
$37 for a body?
It is so true. The Horns Across the Hawthorne, which is the logo by that guy Roger Bridges, that listener verse who made the logo, which is fantastic. So the Horns Across the Hawthorne laminate. And then, now you've got this Max 910, this glass from Max 910. It's like a beer glass?
Yeah, it's a pounder.
Now you say, it's a pounder. I've got a pounder. The pounder... There's like three jokes there at once. Now, you said that there's a Rick Emerson shot glass.
I don't know if this was given out any other time, but I got both this and the Rick Emerson shot glass.
Sarah, do you remember there being a Rick Emerson shot glass?
No.
Tim?
I don't know.
The shot glass was a little tiny white shot glass with the Rick Emerson logo on it, and it was given out at the Cinco de Drinco.
Did you have to? Was it like?
You had to buy.
Really?
I think
that's
in order to get this, I think you had to buy the F mat.
Really?
And then in order to get the shot glass, you had to buy like a shot of Cuervo because it was sponsored by Cuervo.
Oh, okay.
Cinco de Drinco.
You have like a memory like a steel trap.
Oh, seriously, and that was at the hot seat in Tigard.
I don't even remember.
Remember Cinco de Drinco?
I do remember being at the hot seat because
that's when we had karaoke there.
I do remember that because Sarah and I did Paradise by the Dashboard Light there.
And you carried around my purse for me.
And I carried around your purse like a bitch. And that was the listener party where our friend Rob White, who was a sales guy and a very large man, sat down on a chair which went out underneath him and just looked like a daisy.
And everyone whipped out their
totally. It was, we heard like he was a very, very large man, good sales guy, big guy though, big, large, large man. He looked like a before picture. And he sat down in this white plastic chair and we all heard like a... And we're like, what's that? We look over just in time to see that chair just go poof and just pancake itself. And every cell phone in the place came out and took a photograph of that guy.
That was
bastard.
Also the party where Aaron said he swore he knew how to do the Under Pressure.
Oh, by Queen. And
by
then
Queen.
He just muffed it. Yeah, he just ate crap just spectacularly. All right.
So I don't, unfortunately, have a Rick Emerson shot glass either.
But so somebody out there probably does. So somewhere out there, there probably is a... So if you've got one of these, which I haven't seen, but if you've got one of these Rick Emerson shot glasses, which supposedly exists, drop me an email about it, rick@rickemerson.com, or you can actually just come by the station. It's 2040 Southwest 1st, right here in downtown Portland. 2040 Southwest 1st, and Dave's in, who's the gatekeeper. What they'll do is they'll take your name, number, they'll log it, and they'll make sure you get your stuff back after the party. But listener party 10, we want to have a gigantic swath of stuff, spanning of merchandise and just stuff, spanning the entire history of the program. So, excellent. Well, thank you, sir.
No problem. I also brought you some 8-ounce bags of chocolate Chex Mix.
Look at this. Look at this. He brought me like 5 pounds of chocolate Chex Mix. That's fantastic. So I can weigh like an even 2 bills.
Oh, he brought it for you. You're not going to share it with anybody else?
I don't even want it. I mean, I do, but I shouldn't.
And the great thing is those cost about as much as you pay for the...
They're like a dollar
if you buy them.
They're like a dollar, and they're huge. All right, excellent. Well, we will have all of this stuff. God bless you. Thank you, man.
Thank you. And everyone, I also wanted to let everyone know that my son is alive, well, and doing quite well, so much so that I brought him in.
And he's been in the studio, and he hasn't stolen anything. Although we're going to search you on the way out. He's got a clerk shirt, so he'll turn out just fine. Any kid in a Kevin Smith shirt will turn out spectacularly.
Excellent. All right. Nice to see
you,
everyone.
Thank you, my friend.
See you in a couple weeks.
All right, go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen.
Brought in some
Rick Emerson merchandise. Thank you, Colin and Chris. There you go. All right. I don't even remember having a shot glass with my name on it. That's the kind of thing you'd think you'd remember. All right. We'll get back to teammate in just one second here. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Ground Zero Lounge from groundzeromedia.org. Our good friend Clyde Lewis. Hello there.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, brother?
Hey, we got a lot of things going on. Especially this weekend is going to be the premiere of A Day Called X. It's going to be at the Laurelhurst Theater at 8:30 p.m. It's going to be a big deal, too. In fact, it's the third most requested movie right now at the Laurelhurst for that film festival.
Cool. There's a big ad for Clyde the Paper, too.
Yeah, there was a big ad for it as well.
I saw that last week.
And I can't believe it because I'm just sitting here just in awe of what's going on with this. It's just big. There's going to be a lot of people there. We invite all the Ground Zero listeners and Rick Emerson listeners to come out because of the fact that there is a moment with actually you and Tim, and you get to see a little bit of Sarah, too. It's just we look so young, too, in this film because it was shot back in 2003. You know, this guy just decided he had old footage of us that he collected, I guess, and he just put it all together, and I've seen it. It's kind of like, I guess, how you would say when you went and saw Private Parts. It's the idea that you're just going to go see Howard work. That's basically what it looks like. It's got... songs featured from the Epoxies, they're in it. They did music. The Hell Candidates make an appearance. At the end, I end up looking like John Waters. Instead of having a transvestite around, I have this Klingon walking around with me, so it's kind of funny. It's just an interesting little, when you're talking about nostalgia and talking about looking back, you know, the 10 years you've been on the air and the 12 years that I've been involved with what I've been doing, it's kind of a nice look back at, what's going on. I mean, it's about Ground Zero. It's about you because I talk about how, you know, you inspired me to get into radio and the talk radio thing. And it's just an interesting,
it's happening at the Laurelhurst?
Yeah, it'll be at the Laurelhurst at 8:30. I guess there's a movie preceding it called Thunder Hill. I don't know anything about that film, but I guess they're double featuring them together. The Longbow Film Festival is a huge film festival. They have films from everywhere. I kind of want to take a look at some of the other films there, too. But in the meantime, the Day Called X, it's just getting a lot of reviews. I mean, I saw it. It was okay. You know, I wince whenever I have to see myself on the screen. And especially, I mean, it's funny how young we look. You look like you're bouncing all over the walls. Tim's doing his news. You're talking about Michael Jackson. It's hilarious.
I'm going to have to see this just so I can figure out what the hell it is that they were filming and when it was.
Well, it's funny.
I don't remember any of this.
You know what? I don't either because there's a lot of segments in it. It's really funny. There's some segments where the cameras, I guess they hidden the cameras. I guess the guy came in and he hid the cameras. We didn't know we were on camera.
Right.
But there is a sequence where I'm actually, you know, opening up a soft drink or a beer or something. And I look like
something.
I'm just totally bored with what I'm doing. And
they were taken in the washroom.
And
like Chuck Berry hidden cameras.
And I'm talking back to an Ovaltine commercial. It's really stupid. I don't know what they thought that
making
was.
The film sound absolutely compelling.
But there's some other good stuff in there. There's some scenes taken from the movie that they called X with Glenn Ford, where a number of Portlanders were back in the 50s, where it's a civil defense film, but a number of people in Portland, I guess they said that a hydrogen bomb is supposed to be dropping on Portland.
I'm sorry, while we're on the subject, and I've got it upstairs, and I'll give it to him later, will you please, and you please give nothing away, spoil nothing, will you please, because I hate to have, I like to make suggestions, but ever since I suggested to Tim that he see Sin City, I feel that perhaps, and then he was horrified and traumatized by that film. I believe that my movie suggestions maybe are a little bit suspect in the mind of Tim. Will you please tell Tim that he needs to see The Iron Giant?
Tim, you need to see The Iron Giant.
Okay, but you got to sell it, man.
The reason why you need to see The Iron Giant is because it's a touching and beautiful story about a young boy and his robot.
But it captures, would you not agree, that it captures that McCarthy era American, the Cold War era American vibe better than almost anything that's come out of the last 25 years?
Exactly, and it's right up there with Goodnight, you know, Good Night and Good Luck. It was right there with the McCarthy vibe and the fear and the Cold War fear and The Iron Giant, and it's just a great film. I mean, you know, we actually teared up.
I know. Clyde and I cried like children.
We cried like children when we watched it.
But it captures that segment, that slice of American history.
And I actually
late
have
late 50s, early 60s, better than almost anything I've ever seen.
I actually have a replica of The Iron Giant at my house. I bought me one because I love the film so much. Yeah. And it is a great film. It's a great story. And in fact, one of the things that bothered me about it was that it was a great film for parents to take their kids to go see. And when I got a phone call from the morality police who said that certain films that they were protesting, I said, why didn't you get behind The Iron Giant?
There
Nobody got behind that film. Only like 5 people saw it, and I think that that's a travesty.
All right.
And so it is a great film, and
so,
I really loved it.
See, there you go. So, Sam, I'll give that to you.
Just a reminder.
Headings or maimings of anything.
So just a reminder, Day Called X, tonight at Ground Zero Lounge. I don't know. I got a lot of things to talk about. The governor of Arizona claimed that the UFOs over Arizona 10 years ago were real. He came out in a press conference. France just opened up their UFO files now, and their website crashed when they opened it up, so a lot of people are interested in this stuff. There are a few other things, too. I'm not just going to talk UFOs, but I mean, there's just a lot of great, I guess you could say, news that's Ground Zero oriented that seems to be coming out a lot lately, and you know, it just seems like I don't even have to, you know, think. It just writes itself, pretty much.
All right, Ground Zero Lounge tonight, 8 o'clock, Dante's and groundzeromedia.org. Thank you, brother.
Go to www.theycalledx.com for more details on the movie.
All right, thank you. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. There you go, Clyde Lewis. God bless him. There you go. Clyde, you know, like when you see people on TV and they have T-shirts that have the name of their website that they're pimping? Clyde, if Clyde was...
We've done that.
No, it's true.
Remember when we were doing the TV thing and you made me put stickers on myself?
I'm just saying Clyde is like a person who is wrapped in that. Clyde is like every square inch of his body is covered in something that he's promoted, which I mean in a good way. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, hours after Scott Whelan and his wife brawled at a luxury hotel, the Velvet Revolver Rocker's wife was arrested for torching his $10,000 wardrobe outside their Toluca Lake home. Mary Whelan was booked for investigation of arsony vandalism after officers responded to a female Brennan clothes call at 10 p.m. And they found a trash can full of smoldering clothes. Apparently, the wardrobe was worth $10,000. The couple's children were placed in custody of Whelan's friends. A few miles away at the Boutique Gracilia Hotel on Pass Avenue, the couple got into an argument and left two rooms vandalized. Both rooms had damage with items scattered, broken plates and things. It definitely looked like the items were deliberately destroyed. No charges have been filed since the couple left, but the damage exceeds $400. I'm sorry.
Excellent. I'm just going to read this one final email, Tim, and this is all I'm going to say about this. Right. This email says, Rick... Oh, I'm sorry. It says, this is Rick, read this for Tim. About the Iron Giant. Tim, see it now. Blow off work, ignore friends, ignore family. Do not eat, sleep, or blink until the credits roll. You will thank Rick later for this.
Now, is this a current motion picture?
It came out a couple years ago. It's from the guy who did The Incredibles, Brad Bird, and it came out, I think, 4 years ago, probably. 4 or 5 years ago. So it's brilliant. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. Hands down, period.
Well, okie doke.
So I love... I have the DVD more often, so I'll give it to you for the show. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, Hillary Clinton is gaining a strong ally for her election in Iowa. She's being backed by Governor Tom Vilsack, who's not going to run for president.
Vilsack.
Who could never win for president, but now she has the support of Tom Vilsack, and she's very happy.
In order to be president, you have to win an election. And there's no question that this will be a tough election.
That's really some insightful.
Hillary Clinton has been tried and tested like no other candidate for president. She is prepared to run a tough race and to win that race.
Who is this guy?
Tom Vilsack.
From where?
Iowa. He ran for was going to run for president, but nobody cared.
What? I was just going to say, why do we care what he thinks about Hillary Clinton? What is he doing?
He's having a party in Des Moines.
That's where all the big money is. All the big money is to be found in Des Moines. That's really where your mother loads, your gold stones are.
Hillary talks about her intention to bring the Iraq war to an end if President Bush has not already done so.
Oh, God, prepare yourself for screechiness.
It is his responsibility to extricate us from Iraq. But if he doesn't,
it hurts.
Tom Vilsack and I will campaign together around this country and make it clear that when I'm president, we will end the war in Iraq and begin to bring our troops home.
So his name is Tom Vilsack.
I feel no way tired. I come too far.
Here's the thing. Is it, the idea that somehow a Tom Vilsack, Hillary Clinton dual speaking tour is going to set the world on fire is more than a little retarded. So... all right, well, I guess milk your 50 minutes for all they're worth there, Vilsack. All right, fantastic.
Meanwhile, Barack Obama's in West Palm Beach, Florida, reminded the crowd he was against the war from the start.
It's time to bring our young men and women home.
Meanwhile, Teresa Hines Carey said he likes Elizabeth Edwards. Remember Teresa Hines Carey?
I'm drunk.
I think it is a very personal, very difficult decision. I think Elizabeth is facing terrible odds. She's a brave person, and I think if you had 10 women in a room in the same role, you know, you'd have, you know, 3 going this way, 4 going that way.
What kind of a thing is going on in this room?
Is someone going both ways in this room?
I don't know. Is someone going too far?
And you listen back to the sound clip, I think someone's been sedated.
I think it is a very personal, very difficult decision.
Have some more Xanax.
Elizabeth is facing terrible odds. She's a brave person. And I think if you had 10 women in a room in the same role, you know, you'd have, you know, 3 going this way, 4 going that way.
What about the other 3? Well, no one knows. Did Teresa Hines Carey? Now, I'm just I'm operating from memory here, which is a bit of a sketchy business. I may be wrong about this. Wasn't she was she a drinker? Was that what we heard about her? I may be wrong.
No, she was more of a control freak. She didn't need the booze.
She didn't need the booze to be crazy. I'm not saying she had a problem. I'm saying, who was it? I'm not.
It was Betty Ford.
I'm thinking of Betty Ford. Why do I
know if it's still the case.
Why do I have it? Wait, is Betty Ford dead?
No, she's alive.
Okay.
She didn't die in the 50s. She's still with...
She's not buried after Carmen Miranda. Sometimes I swear to God we're laughing at things, and there is probably one person, if that, in the audience who even knows why we're laughing.
They could listen every day.
Why? It's true. Why am I thinking that Teresa Hines Carey, and apparently she's not, so I'm saying that this was wrong when I thought this. Why was I thinking that Teresa Hines Carey was a drunk?
Because she's from Massachusetts.
It just goes with the territory. Oh, I wish, I had that clip of Ted Kennedy saying Obama, Osama, Bin Laden, Barack thing. Oh, I wish I had that here.
Meanwhile, John Kerry is writing a new book and said one of the topics will be cancer.
There's so much cancer, a lot of it, incidentally, environmentally. And
cancer is the new blog.
Things, mercury, food, all kinds of chemicals. I mean, children today are born. DeRosa wrote a brilliant chapter, actually, on toxins. Children are born.
Imagine that. I'm sorry. My brain just shuts off when that guy talks. I just don't even. I just hear like a low whistling in the background, and that's about it. Rick, about that Anna Nicole Smith doctor, he was definitely saying, but there is no human way someone could inject dirty needles repeatedly into their back. That really is true. I guess I can see that there really is no way to inject yourself in the back. Unless, of course, Howard K. Stern was repeatedly stabbing her in the back with needles covered with feces. Thanks for the image. As well, who the hell would trust a doctor that used the word butt instead of buttocks or at least gluteus maximus? That's akin to a doctor saying, you got a tumor inside your rack there, missy. Or your junk is infested with crabs. Oh, that's hilarious. Not that your junk might be all infested with crabs, but that's a funny phrase. It's a little Idiocracy-esque, but come on, can anyone take him and his autopsy results seriously? That's what I'm saying. There's certain... You know the thing about the terminology? The terminology is what makes you feel confident with your doctor. That's why you like him to say things. Now, here among ourselves, people use the more common verbiage. They speak more frankly and plainly, but you like your doctor to use words like gluteus maximus, because it sort of it makes you feel like he is a real doctor, that he didn't just get his degree in the Virgin Islands or something, that he didn't send away for it in the back of Rolling Stone. So when he says you have an infection in what we call your butt, you know, it doesn't really underscore perhaps the seriousness of the situation nor his intellect in describing it. Good God! All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, it says here, the much-anticipated on-air kiss between Jennifer Aniston and Courteney Cox Arquette is almost here. The former Friends co-star and real-life Friends will lock lips on the season finale of Dirt tomorrow night on FX. So apparently somebody's interested in seeing that.
Have you seen the cover of, what is it, Life and Style? Is that magazine? What is that magazine?
What magazine is
it's
that?
It's got a title like Life and Style.
I think there's a magazine called
something
that.
Something and
there's a magazine called Life.
There's a, not, see, and how weird is that? Did anybody else know that Life magazine was still around?
No. Well, they started and stopped it several times already.
Does it, anytime you have to start and stop a magazine several times, it's best to just, you know, stop it and be done with it.
Let's see here. Life began publishing in 1936. It was shut down in 1972, came back in 1978, and was shut down again in 2000.
You know, never mind. The great thing about Life magazine going away and coming back is it lets journalists use all kinds of hack headlines about, like, you know, the meaning of life and when does life begin and life after death and blah, blah, blah. There's this magazine, Life and Style, or Living in Style, or something like that. There's the worst picture of David Arquette and Courteney Cox that I have ever seen in my life. And it took me a while to figure out, why they look so bad. And it's something subtle that you don't really realize. Somebody took a photograph of David Arquette, and David Arquette's a weird-looking bastard anyway. David Arquette and Courteney Cox, somebody took a photograph, and then they flopped it. They turned it over. And that's the sort of thing you don't really notice consciously. But if you've ever seen a picture of somebody flopped over, they just look weird and like some sort of Down syndrome version of themselves. And you can't really ever put your finger on why. But that's often why it is. No, it's true. Because because everybody has one eye. Like Sarah's, your left eye.
She has two eyes.
It's true. But your left eye is higher in your face than your right eye is.
Awesome.
No, I'm not trying to. I mean, everybody. I'm sure it's that way with me.
It didn't take that long to figure that one out. Am I really like Shannon Doherty?
What do you mean?
Shannon Doherty, her eyes, like whenever she looks in the mirror, one of her eyes is significantly higher than the other one.
Everybody, I think that's the case with everybody.
It's distracting.
Isn't one of my eyes higher than the other? Tell me now. Look.
Yes, your left one is.
See, I think everybody's left eye is higher than the other one. Everybody, like your left hand, bigger.
And your ear.
Your left lung, bigger. Your left boob, bigger. And same thing. Your left eye, your left.
Don't say left boob.
It's true. That's what the doctor would say. That's what Dr. Purple, or whatever his name is, would say. But they flopped the photograph, and you realize how you get used to seeing them a certain way. And so when you suddenly see them with the picture reversed, they both just look like retardo versions of themselves. I mean, it's just insane. I would encourage you to stop by a supermarket and look at the cover of Life and Style magazine. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We should break because we got the Steve Kastenbaum coming up later on, the CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. We will revisit the Ministry of Truth here just a few because we're so terribly, terribly behind with the news. Later on, top five, Peter Carlin is editor. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.